Good afternoon, it's 4:30 and 80 degrees in Moorhead. This is Mountain Edition. I'm Jacob Lindberg.
And I'm Chaz Jenkins.
Why are we issuing high school diplomas to kids that we do not believe are prepared?
The Kentucky Department of Education will release student assessment scores tomorrow.
A Rowan County man accused of shooting two people has been indicted.
Nearly $500,000 worth of marijuana was seized in a Mason County drug bust.
A Kentucky lawmaker pre-filed a bill that would restore pension tax exemption for state workers.
The city of Lexington received a grant to fight the opioid epidemic.
In sports, Rowan boys soccer plays Boyd County at home this evening.
Bud Luke has the stock report.
Cloudy skies this evening with lows around 71 degrees. Stay tuned for an extended weather forecast after this news.
A Rowan County man accused of shooting two people during the 4th of July holiday weekend has been indicted. The grand jury handed down 18 counts for 68-year-old Harvey Kissick on September 21st. Kissick faces two charges of first-degree assault for allegedly shooting two men who were shooting off fireworks near his home in Farmers on July 2nd. Kissick also faces 15 counts of first-degree wanton endangerment for allegedly shooting a firearm into a crowd of people that same night. He's also charged with one count of possession of marijuana. If convicted, Kissick could face up to 20 years in prison for the assault charges and up to 5 years for each of the additional charges. Kissick is scheduled to appear in Rowan Circuit Court for a pretrial conference on November 2nd. Officials at the Rowan County Detention Center say Kissick was released yesterday on a $2,500 cash bond.
In related news, three people accused of breaking into Kissick's home after his arrest have also been indicted. 25-year-old Ronnie Lee Beeman Jr. was indicted on one charge of second-degree burglary, according to court documents. Beeman is accused of entering the Kissick residence in late July with the intent of committing a crime. Beeman is also charged with being a persistent felony offender. 39-year-old Cynthia Hart and 29-year-old James Johnson were also indicted on a second-degree burglary charge for that incident. The residence burned to the ground shortly after police investigated the burglary. Officials are still investigating that incident, and arson has not been ruled out.
A Georgetown man has been arrested on rape charges. WKYT reports Cody Arnett is accused of breaking into a home Sunday and forcing a woman to have sex at knife point. Georgetown police say Arnett physically attacked the victim after she stabbed him in self-defense. The victim's roommates were alerted by screaming and called for police. Arnett is charged with rape, burglary, and tampering with evidence. He is lodged in Muscat County Detention Center.
Mason County Police seized nearly $500,000 worth of marijuana and arrested five people in a drug bust. According to the Maysville Ledger-Independent, the raid was the result of a lengthy investigation. Maysville Police executed a search warrant at a property on Water Tower Road Saturday. Deputies say they uncovered a large drug processing and trafficking operation. They arrested John Thomas, Deborah Weisskopf, Jack Bain, Christopher Smith, and Larry Smith, all of Maysville. All five are charged with cultivating marijuana. A preliminary court hearing is set for October 3rd.
Kentucky State Police are investigating a deadly crash in Pike County. WYMT reports Bernadette Adkins was driving in the McCarr community yesterday when she lost control of her vehicle. Troopers say Adkins hit an embankment and flipped over. She was taken to the Williamson Memorial Hospital, where she later died. KSP troopers continue to investigate the crash.
Oxygen and propane tanks were found in and around a home that caught fire in Johnson County Monday. A house on Kentucky 201 in the Sitka community caught fire. The call came in around 10:45 Monday morning. A member of WR Castle Fire and Rescue Department tells WSAZ nobody was hurt in the fire. Crews from Flat Gap and Red Bush fire departments also responded to the blaze. A firefighter said there were a number of oxygen tanks and propane tanks in and around the home, which made the situation more dangerous. No first responders were hurt. The extent of the damage is unknown.
A Lexington man has been arrested for stalking a woman for several months. WMKY's Cody Robinson has the story.
Police arrested 29-year-old Cameron Leach Monday. According to LEX 18, the problem began in May when Leach found a woman's social media profiles and began sending her hundreds of messages. According to arrest citations, Leach continued to message the woman after she told him to stop. Leach allegedly followed the woman in the coming months, appearing unannounced at her workplace and at various locations that she would visit. The woman filed a protective order against Leach that went into effect July 17th. That protective order was violated in August when Leach messaged her on Instagram, leading to his arrest. Leach is charged with second-degree stalking and is currently lodged in the Fayette County Detention Center. For WMKY News, I'm Cody Robinson.
We'll be back with more news right after this.
Support for MSPR comes from the Rowan County Farmers Market, a certified Kentucky Proud Market. 11 a.m. Wednesdays and Saturdays in downtown Moorhead on U.S. 60 near the city park. The Rowan County Farmers Market offers homegrown fruits, vegetables, and baked goods, accepting WIC and Senior Farmers Market nutrition vouchers, and participating in the Community Farm Alliance Double Dollars program. Supporting local farmers, the Rowan County Farmers Market is Kentucky proud.
The Kentucky Department of Education will release student assessment scores for the 2017-2018 school year on Wednesday. The release will identify the state's lowest performing schools as well as those struggling to meet the needs of specific groups of students. Interim Commissioner of Education Dr. Wayne Lewis says his organization currently is focusing on proposed changes to the high school graduation requirements.
We have to ensure that as kids graduate from high school, regardless of their district, regardless of who that kid is, that diploma means that the kid has demonstrated that they have certain competencies, basic competencies like in reading and mathematics, that they've completed a rigorous course of study, and that they are prepared.
WMKY will have a report on how area schools measure up on tomorrow's morning edition.
Kentucky Representative John Blanton recently pre-filed a bill that, if passed, restores pension tax exemption for state workers. EKB News reports the bill would restore tax cuts up to the first $41,000. Under 2018 legislation, state workers have to pay taxes after the first $31,000. Blanton says most retirees in Kentucky don't make more than $50,000 a year.
They fall in that gap between that 31 and 41. They were going from not having to pay any income tax to now having to pay 5% state income tax on anything above that $31,000, which for someone who's right at the bottom edge of that, you're talking $40-some dollars a month. That can mean the difference in getting a prescription filled or getting a utility paid.
Blanton says he feels like he was obligated to file this bill for the state workers, saying he made a promise to restore tax cuts on the Senate floor and that he feels like it's simply the right thing to do.
The city of Lexington has been awarded a $2 million federal grant to fight the opioid epidemic. The grant, which stretches over 4 years, will largely be used for naloxone kits to be distributed through the health department and to supply deputies at the sheriff's office. Naloxone is the life-saving drug given to someone who has overdosed on opioids. Dr. Craig Humbaugh is the commissioner of health with the Lexington Fayette County Health Department, says countless lives will be saved in a city where the numbers of overdoses have doubled since 2013.
We already distribute naloxone kits through some partnerships we have with other agencies in the city, including UK and Drug Free Lex, but the money is running out for those kits. They only have about 300 left, and this award, thankfully, came at the right time, will help us purchase some new kits to be available in the community.
The funds will also be used to hire an overdose prevention coordinator and outreach efforts to help people understand the Good Samaritan Law, which provides legal protections for anyone who calls for emergency assistance in the event of a drug overdose.
Moorhead will be hosting an opioid recovery info event this weekend. Rowan Ready for Recovery hopes to spread awareness on the growing epidemic in eastern Kentucky by providing people with information and opportunities to seek out recovery. The event is hosted by Care to Hope, an opioid research project through the University of Kentucky and Emory University. The project coordinator for Care to Hope, Beth Lawson, says there will be plenty of speakers at the event.
Our opening speaker will be Jason Jones with the Moorhead Inspiration Center. So he's going to be introducing Representative Rocky Agnes, who's going to speak for a few moments. And then Mayor Trent is going to speak. And then we're going to have four speakers throughout the day who are going to share their story of recovery and how their recovery came about.
Other activities will include a Casey's Law training, Narcan training and distribution, and an information session on hepatitis C and HIV. Rowan Read for Recovery will be on Saturday, September 29th, from 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. For more information, the Care to Hope Moorhead office can be reached by calling 606-254-2040 or on their website at caretohope.org.
The challenger for Kentucky's 3rd Congressional District is on the attack against its incumbent. Vicki Yates Brown-Glisson is a former Cabinet for Health and Family Services Secretary. She tells Spectrum News, John Yarmuth has held the seat since 2006, and there isn't a whole lot to show for it.
He hasn't done anything. They'll say to me over and over again, how long has he been there? And I'll say, he's been there 12 years. They're like, really? Has it been 12 years? And I said, yes. And they said, oh my gosh, what has he gotten done? And so I really, and we talk about how that nothing has really gotten done, and there's nothing tangible, and we haven't had an advocate and a voice.
Yarmuth's campaign released a statement after Glisson's comments. They say he has led efforts in Congress to get big money out of politics, he supports public financing of elections, and has introduced legislation to overturn the flawed Citizens United decision.
Internet is a necessity for most Americans today, and while Kentucky is trying to keep up, it is still behind when it comes to providing high-speed access to all. That's according to officials with the Center for Rural Strategies. 22% of Kentuckians only have access to two or less broadband providers in their area. The Kentucky Wired Plan is supposed to ensure high-speed internet access, but is still behind schedule in every county. CRS Vice President Tim Marema says while it is crucial to fight for quicker speeds, he also wants to focus on the issue of net neutrality.
A lot of us are concerned about access, and it's critically important for rural areas. But while we're working on access, we need to remember that rules like net neutrality are what make the internet a useful tool for all of us in the future.
Marema says net neutrality keeps the internet free and open to all because companies couldn't create slow lanes for specific content.
The Kentucky Folk Arts Center is currently accepting vendor applications for the annual Appalachian Holiday Arts and Crafts Fair. The event will be celebrating its 34th year in the Laughlin Health Building at Moorhead State University from 9 a.m. to 4 p.m. Saturday, December 1st. KFAC Administrative Coordinator Tammy Stone says the deadline to apply is September 30th, and they usually accept around 100 vendors.
For a 10x10 booth space, it's $70, and if you need electric, those will be a wall space. It's an additional $20, so it'll be $90 for the booth. They can go to the Kentucky Folk Arts Center website to print out an application, or downtown Moorhead Incorporated, it's also on their website, or, you know, if they don't have access to do that, they can call me and I'll mail them an application.
The Appalachian Holiday Arts and Crafts Fair is the longest-running craft fair in Kentucky. Admission to the fair is $3 per person. Children under 12 are admitted free. Taking a look at the weather tonight, cloudy skies this evening will become partly cloudy after midnight, lows around 71 degrees. Wednesday, partly cloudy skies during the morning hours, thunderstorms likely in the afternoon, a few storms may be severe, highs near 85 degrees, chance of rain at 80%. Wednesday night, thunderstorms during the evening, then cloudy skies overnight, lows around 61, chance of rain at 80%. Thursday, partly cloudy skies during the morning hours will give way to occasional showers in the afternoon, highs near 70 degrees, chance of rain at 60%. Thursday night, overcast with rain showers at times, lows near 60 degrees, chance of rain at 70%, and on Friday, cloudy, highs around 75. Taking a look at the listening area temperatures in Flemingsburg, 79 degrees, Lexington, 74 degrees, Winchester, 79 degrees, and Inez and Ashland, it's 78 degrees, and in Moorhead, it's 80 degrees.
On our feature segment this afternoon, the new president and CEO of Ashland Community and Technical College will be stepping into his role next week, and WMKY's Tanner Boyd reports he's no stranger to the area.
Well, I am an Ashland native, and I grew up in Boyd County, graduated from Boyd County High School back in 1986. I am also a graduate of what was then Ashland Community College, which is now Ashland Community Technical College.
That's Dr. Larry Ferguson, the soon-to-be new president and CEO of Ashland Community and Technical College, which is but one of his many alma maters.
Went on to Mountain State University, which was in Beckley, West Virginia, during my bachelor's and my master's, and ultimately learned a PhD in leadership from Trident University, which is in California.
And Ferguson is familiar with ACTC not only as a student, but as an employee. He worked with the school for nearly a decade before going on to work in the Kentucky Technical College System's central office for a few more years.
And then I went to Alabama and served as the president of Bevel State Community College in Jasper, Alabama. And then I had the chance to come back, so I came back to the system office, and then ultimately now I'm getting to go home, which is an exciting thing for me and my wife.
Ferguson adds that while he's gone on to have an extensive background in education from various schools, he's always believed his success began with ACTC.
And although I learned much from all of those experiences at those different universities, the only one I've ever hung up in my office, actually the actual diploma, is my one from Ashland Community College, because that showed me, you know, coming in as a first-time college student for my family, that I could do it, that it was possible, and so it has that much meaning for me.
And now that he is back home, Ferguson says he's excited to execute the goals of Kentucky's community and technical college system.
Our responsibilities are three things. One is transfer, and that's helping students come and get those gen ed classes, maybe pick up an associate degree and then transfer onto a university. Ultimately, they will go to work as well. The other piece of that is workforce development, and that is the short-term training programs that we have, some less than, 6 months, that will get someone directly into the workforce and get them a better sustaining wage.
And the third, he says, is workforce customization.
So we do a lot of work with companies for their incumbent workers, you know, training that they might need to upskill or to prepare for new equipment and all of those types of things. So that is the important part that we play with economic development, is we are the solution for, you know, the workforce challenges that many of our business and industry partners play.
Ferguson says he's excited to take up the leadership role for ACTC, but he says he isn't planning any moving and shaking for a while.
Primarily over the next several months, I really just want to listen and learn. You know, there's so much that happens. There's the context of all the things that are taking place in the college. And so I need to listen and learn. And sometimes, you know, the easiest way to think about that is, you know, what should we stop, what should we start, and what should we continue? And so that's kind of how we'll frame up those conversations. But I know that I have a lot of listening to do, particularly over the next 6 months to a year.
Most importantly, what Ferguson wants is for ACTC to continue to be a place where individuals can go to begin their success, regardless of the end goal.
You know, ultimately, whether a student comes in with us and they get a short-term certificate or a diploma or even get the associate degree, you know, everybody eventually ends up in the workforce. Or if they come to us for a couple of years and then transfer to Morehead State University or Eastern Kentucky University, ultimately they're still going to get a job, you know, and go into the workforce. So it really depends. I think folks should follow their passion.
For WMKY, I'm Tanner Boyd reporting.
The time is 4:48. I'm Jacob Lindberg here with Chaz Jenkins, and we're glad you joined us on this Tuesday afternoon. WMKY's Tilden Johnson has sports right after this quick timeout.
Support for MSPR comes from the Community Recycling Center in Morehead. Located at 325 Triplett Street near the Morehead City Park, the Community Recycling Center offers a 24-hour drop-off service for a variety of recyclables, including cardboard, aluminum and steel cans, one- and two-numbered plastics, books, newspaper, magazines, mixed and shredded paper. The Community Recycling Center is a partnership of the City of Morehead, Rowan County, and Morehead State University. More information at 784-1250.
It's soccer action tonight. Reporting for WMKY Sports, I'm Tilden Johnson. The Rowan County Vikings play host to Boyd County tonight. Rowan is coming off a shutout win over Boyd County on Saturday, moving the team to 15-1 on the season. Boyd stands at 10-1-1 coming off a weekend loss at Hurricane West Virginia. Coach Max Hammond says it's going to be a tough one.
You know, it should be a hard-fought game. It's a, you know, big regional opponent, and they've been doing really well this year. It's our senior night also, so we're hoping to get a lot of people out there for the game. Hopefully the rain holds off somewhat. You know, we come out and play a good game.
Game time tonight is set for 6:30. Other games in the region include the 7-5-1 Fleming County Panthers taking on Greenup County Musketeers on the road tonight at 8, and the 6-7-1 Russell Red Devils are hosting the 5-6-1 Johnson County Golden Eagles this evening at 6:30. The Rowan County Lady Soccer Vikings have a 7 p.m. road matchup this evening against Bath County. The Vikings are currently 7-6 this year, whereas Bath County is sitting at 8-3-1. The Vikes are on a two-game losing streak after falling to Dixie Heights 2-0 on Saturday and to Johnson Central, dropping that game with a score of 5-2 last Thursday. Other area girls' games tonight include 8-3-1 Fleming County Panthers traveling to take on the 1-12-1 Greenup Musketeers. Also 13-0-1 Johnson Central is hosting 8-4-1 Russell. And 0-9 Menifee is on the road as they take on the 1-7-1 Estill County Lady Engineers. Another member of the Moorhead State volleyball team has gotten an OVC nod. WMKY's Tanner Boyd has more.
After recording a league-leading 12.5 assists per set during Ohio Valley Conference opening weekend play, Moorhead State volleyball setter Chandler Clark was named OVC Setter of the Week. The accolade marks the first OVC Weekly Award for the redshirt sophomore, while also marking the first Setter of the Week award for an Eagle since last September. Clark helped Moorhead State to a perfect start to conference play, leading the Eagles to a 5-set victory over Jacksonville State and a sweep of Tennessee Tech. Clark dished out 100 assists on the week, representing 91% of the team's total assists on the weekend. Clark and the Eagles return home on Wednesday as Moorhead State hosts in-state rival Eastern Kentucky in a midweek tilt. For WMKY Sports, I'm Tanner Boyd.
Now entering her third season with the Moorhead State women's basketball program, Dominique Duck has been promoted to associate head coach by head coach Craig Todd. Duck joined the staff in 2016 after spending 5 seasons gaining coaching experience at various levels. Coach Todd says she's more than earned the position.
I feel like Dominique has been a tremendous asset to our program last 2 years. With our 42 wins, she's been a big part of that. I feel like the student-athletes relate very well with her. She's a very good mentor academically and on the court. She's one of the top 10 players in Western's history as a player.
Previously, Duck had served as an assistant coach at Chauvin University in North Carolina, where she helped the Hawks to their first 20-win season. The 17th-ranked Kentucky football Wildcats are in trouble. The SEC has fined Kentucky $100,000 after some fans rushed the field following the Wildcats' 28-7 victory over Mississippi State. This is the university's second offense under the conference's policy. Kentucky was previously fined after a 2014 football victory against South Carolina. If Kentucky has a third incident, the university will be fined up to $250,000. Fines are deposited into the SEC Postgraduate Scholarship Fund. The Steelers have officially got their first win of the season yesterday against the Buccaneers and did it without holdout Le'Veon Bell. Ben Roethlisberger threw for 353 yards and 3 touchdowns in the Steelers' 32-27 victory at Tampa. Vance McDonald scored on a 75-yard pass and finished with 4 catches for 112 yards. Antonio Brown and Ryan Switzer also had first-half TD receptions for Pittsburgh. The Steelers led 32-10 at halftime and picked off Ryan Fitzpatrick 3 times. Baker Mayfield will be the starting quarterback when the Cleveland Browns take on the Raiders in Oakland on Sunday. The first player taken in this year's draft got the job following a brilliant relief effort in Thursday's 21-17 win over the New York Jets, the Browns' first victory since 2016. He entered for an injured Tyrod Taylor late in the first half and completed 17 of his 23 passes for 201 yards to lead Cleveland from a 14-0 deficit. And Minnesota Vikings defensive end Everson Griffin has been sidelined indefinitely by an undisclosed situation that has caused concern with the organization about his well-being. The Cincinnati Reds are getting ready to begin their final home stint of the season. The Reds will play the Royals tonight and tomorrow. Cincinnati manager Jim Riggleman tells Reds.com that he hopes to see a better performance at home, having been shut out during 5 of their last 10 outings.
Yeah, we certainly got to do better than that. We got to play better at home also, but the road situation has really hurt us. I don't really know why that would be, but we got to do a better job.
Game time this evening is set for 6:40 in Cincinnati. And lastly in sports, a 20-year-old food service worker at Comerica Park in Detroit has been charged after a video was posted online that appeared to show him spitting on a pizza intended for customers during a Major League Baseball game. Jalen Kearley was arraigned today on felony and misdemeanor food law violations. The felony charge is punishable by up to 4 years behind bars. Reporting for WMKY Sports, I'm Tilden Johnson.
Support for MSPR comes from MSU Athletics, online at MSUEagles.com. Volleyball hosts Eastern Kentucky University tomorrow night at 6 p.m. Football hosts San Diego on Saturday, October 6th, and soccer welcomes Austin Peay on Sunday, October 7th. More information from the MSU Eagle ticket office at 783-2386 or online at msueagles.com.
Good afternoon from the Ashland offices of Hayward Lyons. This is Bud Luke with your closing financial markets report for WMKY. At 350, stocks had slipped as renewed trade worries washed out strong gains in energy shares and also did away with good gains in bank shares earlier today. And the Dow Industrials are at 350 or down 53.51 at 26,508.54. The S&P 500 is down 1.93 at 2917.44. The NASDAQ bucking the trend as it shows a gain of 18.5 at 8,011.75 as certain large cap tech stocks are strong today. President Trump said at the United Nations General Assembly that the U.S. will no longer tolerate abuse on trade. And Trump's comments come after U.S. Trade Representative Robert Lighthizer said the U.S. was prepared to move ahead on a trade deal with Mexico that excluded Canada. Shares of Ford and General Motors, both of which are sensitive to trade issues with Canada and Mexico, were both down today, with Ford down 0.6% and GM down 1.5%. Facebook stock dropped 0.25% after Instagram's co-founders left the company. Analysts said their departure could lead to a significant pullback in the short term. And Apple shares fell initially after Qualcomm accused the tech giant of stealing secrets and giving them to Intel. The stock recovered to trade about 0.7% higher. In the commodities markets, oil is up 0.3% at $73.29 a barrel, while gold is up 0.1% at $1,205.70 an ounce. Overseas in Europe, stocks were actually strong today, with the Stock 600 index up 0.5%. In Asia, most markets were down, with the Shanghai down 0.6% and the Hang Seng in Hong Kong down 1.625%. Among Dow Industrial stocks, the best performers are McDonald's and Disney, while the worst performers are Intel and United Health Group. In the S&P 500, the best performers are RCF Industries and Concho Resources, while the worst performers are CenturyLink and Microchip Technologies. Turning now to stocks of local interest, it's Ashland Global up 75 cents at 86.06, CSX up a penny at 73.32, AK Steel up 18 cents at 4.83, Marathon Petroleum down 50 cents at 85.29, AEP down 86 cents at 69.78, and Fifth Third Bank is up 5 cents, trading at 29.06. Reporting for WMKY, this is Bud Luke from the Ashland offices of Hilliard Lyons.
Support for MSPR comes from the Recreation and Wellness Center at Morehead State University. Basketball and racquetball courts, weight and exercise equipment, indoor walking track and swimming pool. Outdoor Adventures offers a bouldering wall, camping and hiking equipment, kayaks and paddle boards for Eagle Lake. Towel service and group fitness classes included with all memberships. Day passes and community memberships now available for fall. Bowling lanes open Monday through Saturday, 5 p.m. to 10 p.m. in the Laughlin Building. More information at 783-2083.
Taking a quick look at an upcoming community event, the Derrickson Agricultural Center at the Morehead State University Farm will host a live Tibetan Yaks exhibition on Saturday, September 29th, from 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. Rutabakers will provide food and bluegrass music begins at 1 p.m. The event is free and open to the public.
Taking a final look at the weather tonight, cloudy skies this evening will become partly cloudy after midnight. Lows around 71 degrees. Wednesday, partly cloudy skies during the morning hours. Thunderstorms likely in the afternoon. A few storms may be severe. Highs near 85 degrees. Chance of rain at 80%. Wednesday night, thunderstorms during the evening, then cloudy skies overnight. Lows around 61. Chance of rain at 80%. Thursday, partly cloudy skies during the morning hours will give way to occasional showers in the afternoon. Highs near 70 degrees. Chance of rain at 60%. Taking a look at the listening area temperatures again. In Flemingsburg, 79 degrees, Lexington, 74 degrees, Winchester, 79 degrees, Inez and Ashland, 78 degrees, and Moorhead, it is 80 degrees.
And that'll do it for Mountain Edition this afternoon. Today we had help from Leanne Akers, Cody Robinson, Logan Pemberton, Kenzie Thompson, Naya Andwaza, Chanasty Davis, and Tilden Johnson. Hilliard Lyons' Bud Luke with your stock report. And our feature segment came from WMKY's Tanner Boyd. This is Morehead State Public Radio, WMKY Morehead, and translator W202BH Inez. Our show is archived daily on the web at wmky.org. For Chaz Jenkins and all of the MSPR News team, I'm Jacob Lindberg for WMKY News. All Things Considered is next. It's 5 o'clock.